with everything you got, because
He lives.
Sing it to Him.
I can face tomorrow.
Hallelujah. And it's because
He lives.
Jesus lives.
All fear is gone.
This morning, while we look at our prayer request, Brother Daniel, if you'd get ready this morning to take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of all these requests. Have a prayer request for Sister Diane Couch. Very sick, flu-like symptoms, just really sick and body, needs a touch from the Lord, and she desires that you would pray for her this morning. Also, Brother Robert Marrero called just a few minutes ago. His wife, they were, I think, maybe on their way to church. church this morning, and he had to take her to the hospital with breathing difficulties. Just a lot going on there. He left his daughters with her. He went on to the church to have a service this morning. So they're just asking that we would remember Brother Robert's wife in prayer as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation this morning. I want to continue to remember Sister Linda Kennedy, Sister Jill Fleeman in prayer for complete healing in their bodies. So let's remember those needs this morning. Here's a very urgent unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. Sister Barbara Gould, who had to have a stent. She had to have a stent put in her heart. She's taking care of Bob, her husband, there. Just really, really under a lot of stress. So let's remember that family in prayer today. I want to pray for Linda Miller, who has MS, also now has pneumonia. Another prayer request for a Mrs. Jetty and family. Her sister-in-law passed away on Friday. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request this morning. Still remember Sister Joanne Tessa in recovery at the hospital. She is doing good so far, walking so fast with her walker that they're calling her Speedy Gonzalez. She hopes to come home on Monday. So she has done rather, rather well. So praise the Lord for that. Brother Stewart and family, my mom had a 100% blockage in a main artery on Friday. After rushing her to the hospital, she was healed with a catheter operation. In 1 hour, she is coming home today from the hospital. Praise be to the Lord. So somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Thomas Carnes having a heart procedure tomorrow. Ask that the church pray for that request. Brother Randy and Sister Sharon Gisendetter sends that in. Sister Maria Sponsia, please pray for me. I will be having left knee surgery on Thursday, April the 20th in Nashville. Thanks, and may God bless. So let's remember that need as we pray today. Here's another prayer request for Brother Thomas Carn. So let's just continue to remember that. Sister Brenda Harmon had suffered a fall in her yard and tore ligaments in her ankle. It is very swollen. They're asking that we would remember her as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests this morning, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we know one thing. He is a risen Savior. Amen. He is a risen Savior. Look at somebody and say, He has risen. He has risen. Can we stand this morning? Let's pray for the meetings that's going on in different places around the country, the world, that the Lord would just be mindful of all those meetings. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Did you enjoy the word of the Lord? It's just precious, wasn't it? Amen. Just look into what God would have for us today. We appreciate this guy right here too a little bit, don't we? Brother Daniel, God bless you, buddy.
Amen. At least he didn't call me a little fat brother. Amen. It's good to be in God's house this morning. Amen. About 3 years ago, I think I told this story, and I always like to tell it. It was said that Napoleon, at the height of his power, he gathered all his men around, all his officers, and he pointed at a map of the then known world, and he pointed at one spot, and he said, "It wasn't for that red spot." He said, "I conquered the whole world. I own it all." He was pointing at the British Isles. Maybe by some inner knowledge, he knew that that was going to be a problem for him. And I often said that I believe that one day Satan called all his workers around. And I believe that he pointed out a spot called Calvary. He said that if it wasn't for this spot, he said, "I will own it all." Amen. I'm thankful for Calvary this morning, aren't you? Amen. Let's pray over these needs. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for what you mean to us. God, we realize today that there's people all around the world that's celebrating the resurrection. Oh, God, we just pray that you move for them. God, we was listening to the service over the internet this morning over in Sweden, God. And we're just so thankful that you was moving for those people over there. And God, we pray for our ministers, whoever they may be. God, that your hands would be upon them. God, that you'll just be with them in a special way. God, we pray for our needs and our requests today. God, as we hold these needs and these petitions in our hands, God, pray that you just move for each one of them. God, that you heal, deliver, and set them free. God, we pray for Brother Darrell this morning as he brings forth the word. God, pray that you anoint him in a special way. God, we love you, and we pray for those of the internet, God, that you'll be with them. In Jesus' name, we give you the praise. Amen.
If you want to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here with us in the service today, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service, we pray it would be a great blessing to those folks as well. And we're going to do something a little bit different this morning on our congregational song. I asked Brother Harry to give us that song, He's Alive. And he said he didn't know if he had the voice to do that or not. But I told him people would drive 500 miles just to hear him cough. So he's gonna come and sing that, and we're going to help him on the chorus. Brother, can you put that song on the screen for us? He's Alive. And ain't nobody I'd rather hear sing it in the world than you.
All right.
I mean that. Now let me make this announcement to you this morning, that remind everyone to bring family photo to the library. That's for the book that we're going to give to you know who. And so remember that, family photo. Please get that taken care of. You need that in by, I think it's May the 15th. Is that, am I right on that, May the 15th? Close, May the 15th. Get that family photo taken. Listen, we all look pretty rough. So it's not going to be a beauty contest. But just work with what you've got and bring it in here, okay? Maybe you can put the ugly ones behind or something. I don't know. But do the best you can. But get those pictures in here, folks. Will you do that? Well, we'll have 13 pictures, I do believe. Brother Harry, come this morning. I'm so glad that Jesus is alive in my heart. I'm so glad that he's risen from the dead. I'm so glad that amongst all of our troubles, all of our problems, we can smile right here in Satan's living room and say we're enjoying our Christian walk. Give him one more hand clap of praise. You love him with all your heart this morning. Praise the Lord. We're going to enjoy this song. And the choir's got us a song that as soon as he finishes, come over to the choir, come over to the back room as fast as you can. We appreciate the
grace. You can be seated. I'm glad he's alive. Not only am I glad he's alive, I'm glad he's alive in me. I'm glad there's a living God that we know and serve. The gates and doors are barred, all the windows fastened down. Spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Well, just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window, I looked down into the streets, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. Well, there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. You see, the stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. But something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Then back inside the house again, my guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love came shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt to my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted in. He's alive, he is alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he is alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He is alive, he is alive, he is alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive.
Hallelujah. One more time. You don't have to play that. Just come sing it for us. Amen. Glory. He's alive this morning. Amen. Glory.
Hallelujah.
He's alive.
You've seen him. I've seen him.
Glory.
He's healed my body.
Yes, Lord.
The doctor told me the only way you'll ever not live in pain is to have surgery, or you can put up with the pain for the rest of your life. That was probably 13 years ago. Thank God. Take that, devil. No pain. He's alive.
He's alive.
Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life. So I could be free, I could be whole, I could tell everyone I know.
Thought I was worth saving.
So you came
and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to
God.
you thought I was to die for. He thought that you were to die for. You thought I was to die for. So now I am free.
Never done it to begin with. What can you say? There's not enough words to express how we feel this morning. Because we were guilty, but He took our place. It wasn't just enough that He came. That was wonderful. But you see, He had to die. But it wasn't just enough that He died. He had to get up. And He got up. And when He got up, that changed everything. Hallelujah. It changed everything. We was talking last night, Brother Harry, about Muhammad. They bring a horse up there to his grave. And they change it ever so many hours so that he'll have a fresh horse when he gets up. And they're still changing horses. But the most wonderful thing about our God is He did get up. And He is coming back. And He provides His own horse. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand this morning, if you will. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We count it such an honor to gather here this wonderful resurrection morning as we honor what our Lord done for us today. And we certainly appreciate the songs. And He's alive. And my goodness, what inspiration that wrote that song right there. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with us to the book of 1 Peter. We want to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. I want to speak to you for just a few minutes this morning on this thought of worth. Worth. 1 Peter 1:18. Amen. Appreciate each one coming out. And everybody looks good in their clothes this morning, their pretty colors. And you know, spring's wonderful. You know, when the trees start to wake up and the birds start to sing. And amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Now, I'm an emotional preacher, so if I get a little emotion this morning, you just forgive me. But I believe God squeezes a man's heart and the juice comes out of his eyes. Amen. 1 Peter 1, 18, the Bible says this. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your fathers. You wasn't redeemed with that. Wasn't some kind of fancy talk. You wasn't redeemed with gold and silver and platinum that's worth so many thousand one day and so many hundred the next day that doesn't hold its value. You wasn't redeemed with that. But we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And that word precious means as of a great price. You were redeemed by a blood as of a great price, held in honor, esteemed, especially dear. You was redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, something that's held in honor, something that's esteemed, something that is especially dear. But you see, it's not to the world. They don't want it. So who is he precious to? In the eyes of the Father. Hallelujah. When he gave us this lamb, it wasn't a second-handed lamb. It wasn't a lamb with a crippled leg. It wasn't a lamb with a spot. It wasn't a lamb that was diseased, but it was a perfect lamb. Without spot or without blemish. The best of the best. You see, when God gave us Jesus Christ, God gave us his very heart. It was the very heart of God expressed through flesh. He redeemed us with that blood. Amen. Let's bow our heads. I want to speak to you on worth. On worth. Heavenly Father, oh, how we rejoice this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to be able to gather here in your name. For Lord, there is all kinds of religions in the world today. And Lord, they teach hate and violence. They teach destruction, Lord. But oh God, we serve the gospel of love. And the world will know that we are Christians, not by how we dress, Lord, or the Bible that we pack under our arm. But the world will know that we are Christians by our love. For you are love, oh God, and we thank you this morning for the privilege to gather in your name. And Lord, we thank you today for the resurrection, Lord, that the hope that we have within it, dear God, that though our bodies are aging and being pulled back to the dust from where we come from, Lord, we have this hope, Father, that if they lay us in the grave, one day we'll get up, Lord, because you got up, amen. And we thank you for it today, Lord, and we pray, God, that may every need be met today. May the sick be healed in this day of miracles, God. I pray, Lord, may the Holy Ghost sweep over the building, dear God, and breathe into our lungs a breath fresh of the Holy Ghost air, dear God, that we can claim the promises of your word. And Lord, I pray for my precious brother Dutch Scott this morning, standing in the pulpit in Georgia, Lord, his back suffering so bad, God. I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, may you move for my brother today, Lord. Touch his body and heal him, Lord. May he declare the gospel of Jesus Christ to his congregation today. Bless your people around the world, Lord. Bless all the effort that's done today. Receive glory unto thyself, Lord. And as we leave the building today, may our hearts burn within us. And as we gather with our families or whatever the activities that we would have planned today, may we take a moment, Lord, slip out on the back porch somewhere, just raise our hands up to you and just thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And the bride says, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Before we get into the word, I spoke with Brother Donnie this morning about 3 o'clock in the morning, and he wanted me to sing greetings to you. Said he sure loved you and missed you and couldn't wait to come home. Amen. If you've seen, have you seen some of the pictures of where they're at over there? You know, I was thinking about volunteering to go get him. Amen. It sure is, sure is beautiful over there, those Swiss Alps and stuff. Amen. So he wanted me to bring greetings to you this morning. Do you love him today? My, it's so good to be home. Ain't no place like home. Amen. Amen. Who's going to help me preach this morning? What's the rest of you going to do? Amen. For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions from your fathers. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now you see worth. The worth of an item can be determined by what one is willing to sacrifice to secure it. If you want to know how valuable something is to someone, look at the price that someone is willing to pay to attain it. You know, here a few years ago, we Trissa had her 16th birthday party. And me and Brother David Siler and some of the folks was there for the party, and we were sitting around talking. And they had decorated the table with some plastic pearl, little pearls just on the table for decoration. And one of those pearls had rolled off the table and was laying in the floor. And so we were sitting around laughing and talking and just having a good time. And I caught something out of the corner of my eye. And I thought, what in the world is that? And when I looked over and saw, you know what it was? It was a cricket. And this cricket had grabbed a hold of one of those pearls that had rolled off the table. And I was watching that cricket. He had a hold of this pearl, and he was trying to push that pearl across that patio floor. And I thought, what in the world is that outfit doing? I couldn't believe it. And so we got up and started watching it. Now, I know it don't take much to entertain me, but we was watching this cricket push this pearl across the floor. David was doing it too. And we was watching this cricket, and we were following this cricket, and he knew that we was following him. But he would not let go of that pearl. And he pushed it all the way across the floor, and there was a patio there, oh, I know, maybe a foot and a half, drop off that patio to the ground. And then we was watching that, and he went all the way to the edge, and he jumped off the edge and went right down in a hole. I said, did you see that? He was... there's a point to this. He would not let that pearl go. You see, to that cricket, it was a pearl of great price. He wanted that pearl, and the sacrifice, oh God, the sacrifice of pushing that pearl across that floor was worth the effort. To get to the edge and jump with the pearl in its mouth. Or whatever he was holding it with. Right down into a hole. Now, why did he do that? Because the value of that pearl to him was worth the sacrifice. He was willing to pay to obtain that pearl. Maybe it's for his girlfriend. I don't know. But he wanted that pearl to the point he would let grown men chase him across the floor to take that pearl with him. He would not let go of it. Because to that cricket, it meant something to him. He wanted it. He wanted to possess it. He wanted to belong to him. And he was willing at all cost to have that pearl. I thought, oh God, let me hang on to this message like that, Lord. Let them take my life. Let them do with me what they want to do with me. But may I never let go of this message. Let them laugh. Let them defect. Let them do what they want to do. But to me, it is a pearl, amen, of great price. You know, I think of Samson. God raised Samson up to destroy Philistines. That was his purpose for being on the earth. But Samson let something get between him and God. And he lost his fellowship with God. And there in the arena that day, with the wine and the spit of his enemy upon his face, being led by a child, blinded, his eyes burnt out of his head, because he had forgot who he was. He had forgot what his position was. He had forgot who called him. There in the arena that day, with the spit and the roar of the crowd as they mocked him and made sport of him, Samson, in that condition, he began to remember. And I say to you this morning, if you've let your problems get bigger than your God, if you've let your worries get bigger than your God, I say to you this morning, remember who we serve. We serve the living God. We serve the only true God. Amen. Not made by hands. Amen. You go over to India. They'll shape out an idol. They'll pack it around. They'll set it down. And they'll worship that idol that they made with their hands. But the God I worship this morning, I didn't make him with my hands. The God I worship this morning, he made me with his hands. Amen. And I don't pack him around. He packs me. Starts to begin to remember. He began to remember what it was. He began to remember what God called him to do. He began to remember the victories. He began to remember the power of God. He began to remember the feeling of being in fellowship with God. Do you remember? Remember when you used to run the aisles? Remember when you couldn't wait to get another book in the mail? He began to remember. And when he began to remember, the prophet of God said, he began to pray. But he began to pray right. This wasn't a God bless mama, God bless daddy prayer. This wasn't the prayer that Samson was praying. But he began to pray. And the prophet said, he began to pray right. And he said, Lord, let me die with my enemy. Avenge my eyes, Lord. Let me this day die with my enemy. He realized what he was asking, for he knew what it was going to take. He realized if his prayer was answered, it meant his very death. Do you realize the prayer he was praying? If God answered that prayer, God said, call unto me and I will answer thee. And he called unto God, let me die, knowing if God answered that prayer, it meant his very life. It meant his very life. But you see, Samson reached that place in his life. He was willing to pay the price to get the power of God back on him again. He's seen what he was raised up to do. Not to be a showman. Not to be a message follower. But to be a servant. To have himself a channel the power of God could flow through. He was willing to die with his enemy. To have the fellowship of God back in his life again. To have his fellowship restored. He counted the cost. And in that momentous decision, when Samson surrendered out, realizing the sack of his own life, to receive the power of God, to receive the fellowship of God back in his life again, was worth giving up his very breath for. And let me tell you, to serve God in this day, I know some of you people, some of you young people drifted away from God, tried to go out into the world, tried to make a mark out there. I understand those things, but let me tell you this morning, the price to have fellowship with God, the price to know where you come from and to know where you're going, the price to know before California would slide into the sea, we would be gone. The price of knowing that far outweighs what the world could ever give you. The fashions and the riches of the world, it far outweighs it. What a sad thing it's going to be one day when people who sit around this message and played around this message and never come under the headship of this message, when they realize one day the very thing they needed, they had it right in their own yard. It was right in their own yard. And they walked away from it. He was willing in that momentous decision. He slayed more in his death than he did in his entire ministry. You see, things of value comes with a great price. He was willing. Now, pre-adventure, it's something to say amen to that to Samson, but it's a different story when you have to say amen to that to you. Look at where Samson was at in his life. Look at what Samson was willing to pray. Look at what Samson was willing to do. He was willing to push that building down on his own head. He was willing to die with his enemy. But he said, it's worth it. The cost is worth it. To be in fellowship with the God who created me. Things of value comes with great price. But what about when it appears that the sacrifice far outweighs the value? Brother Brown was telling a story. He was down in a museum. And he saw there an analysis of a 150-pound man. Brother Ram said they had there the analysis of a 150-pound man of chemicals. And the prophet of God said that the man, a man weighing 150 pounds, is worth 84 cents. Just enough whitewash, he said, to sprinkle a hen's nest. 84 cents. And we put $300 suits. Come on, friend. He said there was two boys standing there. And one of them said to the other, John, we're not worth very much, are we? He said, I don't believe we are. 84 cents. But you know, if John was around today, I'd like to tell John, we're worth a little bit more than that today. Today we're worth $4.50. Some of us might make $6. Thanks to Brother Louie and Little Debbie. We might make it to $6 on a good day. $4.50 of chemicals. That's all we're worth on the market. That's all we're worth. You know, a few years ago, I was out in New Mexico. I like Indian things. The brothers knew that I did. And, you know, I just like Indian stuff. I got a feather on my mirror out there in the parking lot. I just like that stuff. And so I was out there, and they knew I liked it. So they took me to this brother. This guy, he was a producer, a Hollywood producer. And this brother was a caretaker of his place. And so the brother took me to this producer's house. This guy made the Pepsi commercials. He did some Michael Jackson commercials. I used to know his name, but that's been a month ago, and I've done it. So I go to this guy's house. It was priceless. The house was worth millions of dollars. And they take me there because he had all these Indian artifacts. And he had pots there that was worth thousands of dollars. And I thought, oh my goodness. He said, pick it up. He don't care. Look at it. I said, man, I'm afraid. He said, no, he don't care. Look, that's why he's got it out there for. And I picked this pot up. And I was looking at it. He said, Brother Darrell, that pot is worth so many thousands. I think it was five, maybe $10,000. That pot is worth $10,000. Dollars. And I was holding it in my hands. $10,000. And I thought, why would he pay $10,000 for a clay vessel? That was probably worth $4.50 of chemicals. Think of that. And I thought, why? You know, I thought if I had $10,000, I'd get me a little bit nicer car, I think, to drive. What would you do? Would you buy an Indian pot? If you had $10,000, would you buy? I like Indian pots, but I wouldn't give $10,000 for one. Why? I thought, why would that man? It was pretty. Yeah, sure enough, it was pretty. But I thought, why? Why would he give $10,000 or whatever the price was? Why would he be willing to do that for just a vessel of clay? Amen. And I thought, it's because he saw the worth of the vessel. He was willing to pay thousands of dollars for an old clay vessel. Because the value to possess it far outweighed the money it cost to obtain it. It was worth to him. He seen the worth. The worth was in the purchaser's eyes. Everybody else might have looked at, well, that's nice, but I sure wouldn't give that for it. That's what I thought. But to him, the one who was purchasing it, he saw the value. He saw the worth. Amen. Remember, I said I was reading a book about Abraham Lincoln. He said he got off a boat down in New Orleans and they was auctioning off a black man. His family was crying because they were separating, breaking up the family. Had the man up on a block and was auctioning him off. Said Abraham looked at that. Abraham Lincoln looked at that and he said, that's wrong. That's wrong. God made man. Man made slaves. I said, that's wrong. He said, it's wrong. And someday I'll hit that. If it costs me my life, I'll hit that. And Abraham Lincoln, true to his promise, when he became president of the United States, he hit that. He hit that. And it did cost him his life. But to Abraham Lincoln, it was worth seeing an injustice terminated. To see an injustice terminated far outweighed the sacrifice of his life. For stopping slavery, to stop slavery, meant more to Abraham Lincoln than his very life meant to him. To terminate a wrong, to stop a wrong. He said, I'll hit that thing if it cost me my life. And he did hit it, and it did cost him his life. But he was willing to pay the price because he saw the worth of stopping an injustice. Brother Raymond was saying he was over in Illinois in a museum. Walking through the museum, and there was a black man there, standing there holding his hat, looking into a glass display. And said, all of a sudden, that black man jumped back. He just jumped back and he began to cry and he bowed his head. He began to pray. He said, thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. And Brother Brennan was watching. He said, when the man got done praying, said he went over, said he said, thank you, Lord. Said, amen. Said, tears was running down that old black man's face. He was crying and thought, I wonder what made that old fella act like that. Said, I went up to him and said, good evening, sir. How do you do it? He said, how do you do it? He said, I was wondering. I was watching you there. I'm a minister of the gospel and I was watching you there, sir. And I saw you jump back and I saw you begin to pray and I saw you begin to cry, and I just wonder what moved you so much. And that black man said, looky there, looky there. And Brother Bram said, I looked into the glass, and there was a little dress folded up. It was just a dress. And he said, it's just a dress. He said, look closer. You see that spot on the end of it there? That's the blood of Abraham Lincoln. He said, sir, I carry on my body scars from a slave belt. I wore a slave belt and I have scars on my side where they wrapped that belt around me and chained me. I wore a slave's belt. But the blood of that man, that's the blood of the man who freed me. He took the belt off of me. He made me free. And he said, sir, I ask you, would not that, if you was a black man and you was in slavery and you wore a slave belt and that man's blood freed you, would it not excite you? Abraham said, I thought if Abraham Lincoln's blood would excite a slave because he was taken off of a slave belt, what ought the blood of Jesus Christ do to the church? It ought to throw us to our knees in tears. But we were once Satan's slaves. But he took the belt off of me. A man weeping in a museum, in a public place, physically weeping. Because he realized in someone's eyes he was worth dying for. Oh God, I could have a spell right now. I'm trying to behave for some of you Methodist people. Oh God. He wept there. Brother Reed, he wept in that museum because he realized in somebody's eyes, maybe not the eyes of the world, maybe not the eyes of the Republicans or the Democrats or this or that or the other, but in the eyes of someone, he was worth dying for. The price that someone was willing to pay for him. Tell you a greater story than that. A man who was made in the image of God. A man who was made to have fellowship with God. To live in harmony with God. To live on the earth as a God. That's the way we were made. That's why God thought of us. He never thought of me as a drunk. He never thought of me as a liar. Come on, somebody. He never thought of you as a prostitute. He never thought of you that way. We were in his mind before there was a world. He wrote my name down. He knew my name. He knew the color of my hair. He knew the color of my eyes. He knew me. Amen. But our father Adam sold me into slavery. He sold me into the slavery of sin. Nothing I had to do with it. Nothing you had to do with it. We had no say. We were born into this world a sinner. Coming to the world speaking lies. Shaped in iniquity. Is that right? You were born without Christ. Without even having a chance. Nothing that we can do to help ourselves. Amen. You can buy all the Rolls Royces and you can buy all the things you want to buy. But when you get all those fancy houses and those four or five swimming pools and that summer home and that winter home and those two yachts, when you get all that stuff, you know what? You still got a slave belt on you. And when the devil jerks on that chain, you'll look at pornography. Come on, somebody. When that devil jerks on that chain, you'll take that needle and stick it in your arm. When that devil jerks on that chain, you'll strip off your clothes before men. Because he's got that chain on you. You was born that way. Without a say, I would have never come that way. You would have never come that way. But we didn't have a choice. We were sold by our father Adam. The human race was sold out by nature. We came forth slaves to Satan, chained by a circumstance that we had no control over. Because of Adam, we was born under a slave belt of sin. Born defeated. And this natural birth can never bring us to life. From the time we were conceived in our mother's womb, we was already starting to die. Amen. Better take a picture of you when you're 20, because you won't look that way when you're 40. And you girls that marry that boy because of his hair, just enjoy it. It'll be in the sink one day. For here we have no continuing city. Come on, somebody. Here nothing ever stays the same. Well, I'm going to do it my way. Yeah, it worked out real good for Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley, didn't it? Works out real good to do it our way. You can't do it your way. There's only one way. That's God's way. There's only one right way. That's the way of the cross. Well, we've got Trump in the White House now. He's my redeemer. He's not mine. He's not my redeemer. Neither is Obama or his mama. They all work for the same boss. You were born in a defeated world. That's right. They're defeated. That's why they just shuffle around. They're defeated. You see, America's done hit the iceberg. She hit it in 56. Before I was ever born. America hit the iceberg. It's a slow sink, but she is sinking. Amen. I've been studying on the California earthquake, friends. I'm telling you, it's right at the door. I told my wife the other day, I said, I would not be surprised. It didn't happen, but I said, I would not be surprised between now. I think it was like March the 6th. I've been studying on it. It got so much on me, I began to dream about it. I just got into it. I got to looking at the California earthquake and the things that they said would happen and the things that are in place now to make that happen. And I thought, my God, I began to look and I told my wife, I said, I would not be surprised between now, but it was March the 6th, between March the 6th and Easter morning, if California didn't suffer an earthquake that would be greater than 6.5. I said, it won't be the big one, but it'll rattle her again. But let me tell you, it's coming. He stood there in California and said, thus saith the Lord, California will be beneath the sea. And God sent warning after warning after warning. He even had Hollywood make a movie called San Andreas Fault. And they still laugh. They still thumb up their nose. I saw a sign the other day said California wants to secede from the Union. They want to leave the United States. I thought, honey, you're leaving soon enough. It just ain't the way you think you're going to go. We're at the end time, friends. We're in a defeated world. Come on, somebody. We're in a defeated world amongst defeated people. Defeated creeds and defeated dogmas and defeated denominations. But we've got to come to victory somehow. And let me tell you, there can never be a victory unless there is a victor. We live in a day that everybody has a reason for what they do. They're a victim of something. Something that happened when they was little. We'll get over it. Amen. We run around, well, I'm a victim. I'm not a victim. I am a victor. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. I was in sin. I was in bondage. I was in drugs. I was in rock and roll. I was in those things. But I'm not anymore. I used to drive right by this church going to the army because I was stationed at Fort Bragg. I drove by a lot of Sundays. I would come home on the weekends and I would leave on Sunday to get back in time for formation on Monday morning. I would drive right by Happy Valley, the old church out there on the steps. I used to see you all. I see y'all standing out there. And I used to think, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to go up there with those people. One day in an old building, he spoke to me. He saw the worth. Before we could ever come to victory, there has to be a victor. You see, our bodies and chemicals is worth $4.50. We throw that much away on Pepsi's. Starbucks coffee. That ain't even worth it. I'm just a Folgers kind of guy. Woo. Amen. Okay, you know, John said, we sure ain't worth much, are we? John said, no, I don't think we are. 84 cents. But Brim said, but wait a minute, boys. You got a soul in there that's worth 10,000 worlds. That body will go to dust someday. But you've got a soul that will live forever. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have these treasures in earthen vessels that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. You see, when God watched Adam, I'll hurry. When God watched Adam leave the garden, he began to cry out. He saw his son leaving the garden in shame, leaving the garden in defeat because Adam sold us out. All those names he held, Brother Terry, all those names he held, he forfeited. And he left the garden defeated, in a defeated state. And God watched him go. And the love of God projected. And God cried out, wait! Adam, wait. I'll give you a lamb. I'll give you a lamb. Adam, watch the lamb! One day down on the river, I'm just to say, Todd, one day down on the river, John saw him. As John was baptizing on the river, he saw a little meek fellow come through the crowd. Not much to look at, maybe 5'4", 150 pounds. Looked much older than what he was, slipping through the crowd. Just a humble fellow. But when John saw him, he saw more than a humble man. And John began to cry out, behold the Lamb, the Lamb, the Lamb. Behold the Lamb that take away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb who can unshackle us from the slave belt. Behold the Lamb. The Bible says that his glory went out. His fame went out through all the regions And people thrived. People pressed in to see the miracles. They pressed in to eat the bread. They pressed in to eat the flesh, to see him do the great works of God, to see blinded eyes open and the deaf speak and the dumb hear. They was there to see the miracles. Everybody wanted the rabbi. Everybody wanted the Messiah. Everybody wanted this Jesus. The Bible said his fame went out through all the region. But you see, he was born for a purpose. And the word and the season and the time began to move in harmony. And as the season began to approach, he began to enter into his purpose for being on the earth. It happened about the time that the Greeks came and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." When the Gentiles began to desire to see Jesus, when they began to cry out, "We want to see Jesus. We want to see Jesus." The Bible said, just the next couple of verses, the Bible said that he said, "Father, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son. The hour has come." And he began to move into the fulfillment of his ministry. The hour has come that the Son should be glorified. The reality of his purpose for being on the earth, he began to move towards the fulfillment of his ministry. It wasn't enough just to be born. He had to die. And the Bible says now, as we move on, the Bible says the hour of his fulfillment had come. And before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world. You see, you and I, we don't know the day. It may be this afternoon. It may be when you leave the park. I don't know, friends. We don't know. But you see, he knew. He knew his end was at hand. And the Bible said just prior to the feast of the Passover, when he knew his hour was come, that he should depart from the world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world. The Bible says he loved them to the end. He lifted up his eyes, said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy son, that thy son may also glorify thee." And now we find him. He takes Peter and sons of Zebedee, James and John. He takes them away from the rest of the disciples, and they move into a place called the Garden of Gethsemane. And he tells them, "You wait here and pray. Watch and pray. The Lamb of God, without spot or blemish, the precious one, the weight of the whole world was upon him." It all came down to this moment. All mankind was shackled to death, chained to Satan's slave belt, and he alone was able to do something about it. And you see, the anointing left him in the garden. It wasn't that he skipped through the garden because he had this great pillar of fire that was lifting him up and he never felt no pain. That's not true. The anointing left him in the garden. And standing here in the Garden of Gethsemane, he tells James and John and Peter, "You guys wait right here. I must be alone. I must go pray." And the weight of the whole world, the reality of what was fixing to happen, began to set upon him. Because you see, Jesus had lived in that region for 33 years, and Rome did not do private crucifixions. Rome did public crucifixions. They would hang them out on the road so that when you was going from one city to the next, you could see the punishment that Rome would inflict upon anyone that would dare to deny them. And Jesus passing through those cities as a boy, as a young man, he had saw many a person hanging there. He saw the birds plucking the eyes out of the heads of those that was hung on the cross. He saw the agony. He saw the pain, no doubt. He saw them people. He saw people flogged. He saw them beaten by the cat nine tails. He saw those things as a young man. He had witnessed it, and he knew what was laying before him. I want you to get this. God will help me this morning just for a few minutes. He tells, now I'm looking at Jesus the man. Remember, the anointing left him. This is Jesus the man. And the Bible says that he went a stone's throw away. Now, why did the Bible say that? Why was they wanting us to understand that Jesus went just about a stone's throw away from his disciples? You see, I believe they was wanting us to understand that Jesus knew he needed to be alone, but yet he didn't want to be alone. The Bible says that he took Peter and James and John, and he began to be sore amazed, and he began to be very heavy and sorrowful. I looked that word up, sore amazed. You know what it means? It means that he began to be terrified. That's what the word means. He began to be terrified. The flesh began to tremble because he realized this decision was laying on him. We could not help ourselves. He's the only one who could help me. And he was weighing this out. He was wrestling this out in his mind. And he goes a stone throw, and the Bible says he fell himself to the ground. And he began to pray, "Father, if there be any other way, don't make me drink this cup." And the Bible says he gets up and he goes back to his disciples, and they're sleeping in church. And he wakes them up. He said, "Don't sleep. Pray with me." And he goes back. He goes back to pray again. And he falls down upon a rock. He said, "Lord, with you, with you, all things are possible. You can make another way. You're God. You can do anything. You can make another way. Don't make me drink this cup." The Bible said he was under such distress that the capillaries, the blood capillaries, broke under stress and was eaved and seeped into his sweat glands. And the Bible said he actually sweated blood, as it were, great drops of blood. And he gets up and he goes back to his disciples, and they're sleeping again. And he wakes them up. "Wake up!" Peter wakes up. Amen. And he looks at the Lord. Yes. And there's blood on his face. His hands are shaking. Peter says, "Lord, what in the world? I've never seen you like this. I've seen you heal the sick. I've seen you walk on water. Is that blood? Are you bleeding? What's going on?" Jesus said, "Peter, Peter, watch and pray. Pray with me, Peter." Has anybody ever sent you a text and said, "Pray for me"? Did you do it? He said, "Peter, with me." And no doubt Peter must have said, Lord, what am I supposed to pray?
Come on, brother. All right.
Come on. He goes back. The prophet said, you see, it was hard. It was hard for him to die. That this might be produced to you. It was hard for him to go to Calvary. He wanted to stay. He wanted to stay. The prophet said he loved sunsets. He loved to walk on the shores of Galilee. He loved to sit around the campfire and laugh as Peter told his fishing stories. He loved his brethren. He loved to be with them. He loved life. Because you see, God gave him that life. Just like God gave you your life. It was his life. But as he looked there, as he looked upon them, Brother Gene, he realized, if I live, they have to die. If I live, if I keep this feeling, if I keep what I have right now, Peter and James and John and Jim and Mary and Susan and Cheryl and Debbie, and they'll have to die. The weight of it all was upon him. And that moment in the garden when Jesus sweated great drops of blood. The prophet said a conference was called. The dove who had led the lamb had led him to this rock in Gethsemane. And there is Jesus sweating it out, laying before the Lord. If there be another way, all things are possible with you, Lord. You can do something else. You can do it some other way. But then he realized that was the Father's will. And he said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of my Father. But God, it is just God. The prophet of God said that great pillar of fire came down into the garden and hung over his head. Said Gabriel came down with his great sword, came down and set up on a rock. Wormwood came down, set up on another rock. Angels everywhere began to descend into the garden. A conference was called. Jesus the man and the God who created him. And he said to him, what do you want to do? I will take you right now with me. You can leave Peter, James, John, the rest of them. Leave them out under the tree. The angels are here to pack you home. You see, he was the sinless one. There was nothing, oh God, thank you, Lord. There was nothing that would have kept him from doing that. But his will. Oh God. To surrender his will to the will of the Father. Conference was called. He said, what do you want to do? I'll take you right now. No whipping post. No humiliation of having your clothes stripped off before the people. To hang naked on a cross. I know they put a piece of cloth there when they sell those crosses and crucifixes, but it really wasn't there. He hung naked before the people. He said, I gave my back to the smiters, and I hid not my face from their spit. and from their shame. What do you want to do? It's a good question for us this morning. What do you want to do? What do you really want in life? What really means anything to you? They will take you to the whipping post. They will beat you within an inch of your life. They will smack you. They will spit on you. They will jerk your beard from your face. And they will drain every drop of blood from your body. You see, things of value come with a great price. Our redemption wasn't cheap. The Son of God had to die for us. It was His death. It was His moment. It was His time. There in the garden, in a conference with God. You tell me what you want to do. And before he could answer, here came the hiss of the serpent. He came down into his ear and he began to talk to him. Are you kidding? They're putting too much on you. Are you to blame for this? Is it right that one should die for many? Is it fair that you would pay for a drunk, for a prostitute, for a liar when you've never done any of that? Is it really fair to you? And do you think they'll even care? Do you think down through the time they'll even care? They'll come to the place they won't even pray over their food in a restaurant. And the name of Jesus will be a mockery and they'll wear the crosses. The Bible said the cross is foolish to them who perish. He said, do you think they will even care? But I'd like to tell the devil this morning, I do care. I do care. It does mean something to me. Are you willing? The conference was called. Say, you have a choice. Save yourself. Save yourself. After all, this is a selfie age. Save yourself. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the wrestling? Can you imagine? For he come to that place. Satan said, it's too much. The price is too great. But the Bible says, for the joy, he endured the cross. You see, he looked forward in time. He saw you well. He saw you happy. He saw you free. He saw you sitting in church. He saw you praising him and loving him. He saw the shackles broke off of our lives. He saw us restored. He saw us redeemed. And he said, it's worth it. It's worth it. Easter Sunday, I was in a garden in Chattanooga, Tennessee, at the Siskins Rehab Hospital. Uncle Calvin, Aunt Ruth, my mom and daddy both gone now. My mom and daddy, Uncle Calvin, Aunt Ruth, and me and Cheryl and Jessica in a rose garden. Jessica was in a wheelchair. Jessica was blind. Jessica had a feeding tube in her stomach. And we sat there that Easter Sunday in a garden, a rose garden. And we sang Amazing Grace and lifted our hands to a God who is our healer, who is our deliverer. And today, Jessica sits here this morning in this service free, free. No wheelchair, no blindness, no feeding tube. Because the Lamb said it's worth it. It's worth it. The only thing he ever asked for. The only thing he ever asked for was our fellowship. There that day, he said, not my will, not my will, that thy will be done. He saw me so that I could stand here this morning and I could say, Brother Jared, he thought I was worth saving. So he came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping. So he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for. So he sacrificed his life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone I know. He thought I was worth saving. Amen. He thought I was worth it. I was worth the cost. He looked beyond the elements. He looked beyond the clay. And he saw the value. The value. Oh God. They nailed him to a cross there that day at Calvary. He pushed up on the cross. Trying to breathe. Because he was dying. The life he loved was leaving. Darkness began to gather around him. No doubt he was going in and out of consciousness. His body was suffering from hypovolemic shock. He began to convulse. That's why they nailed their wrists to the cross instead of their hands, because they would jerk so much that they would actually jerk themselves loose from the cross. So they put the nails right here in the wrist between these bones. So when they convulsed, they wouldn't shake off the cross. And no doubt, he began to have convulsions in his body. Maybe he was passing in and out of consciousness. He heard to his right someone say, "Leave him alone. He's done nothing wrong. We're getting what we deserve. But as for this man, he's done nothing wrong." And the thief said, he said to Jesus, "Remember me. When you come into your own, remember me." Jesus, who in the Pilate's hall, when Pilate said, "Give me something, say something in your defense, say something that I can use to help you," the Bible said he opened not his mouth. He never said one word in defense of himself. But there, dying on the cross, he pushed up, tried to breathe. And he said to the thief, this day, you shall be with me in paradise." He pushed up on the cross. That is to say, "My God, my God, Why hast thou forsaken me? There on the cross, the final moments of his life, as the blood continued to drip upon the ground, and he began to drift further and further away. His breaths began to get slower. Everything began to shut down. He was dying. Bible said that they heard him say, "Help me. Help me." But nobody helped him. They sat and they watched him die. He didn't have to do that. But he did. He pushed up one more time and he said, "It is finished." I wonder what kind of a release he felt, Brother Terry, when he knew right down, Brother Warren, to his final breath, he had been in the will of God. I wonder what kind of release he felt when he looked upon him for the last time and that ripped body, knowing he had freed him. When he said, "It's finished." Brother Jack, it was for the healing of your back, buddy. When he said, "It's finished," it was for that tumor that's on your breast. It's for that high blood, for that low blood. It's for that habit that Satan has you chained with. When he cried out, "It's finished," every shackle of Satan, every prison door of Satan's hell house, when he cried, "It is finished," down in hell, the doors begin to bust open. Poof, 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 poof. You see, that day at Calvary, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And on that resurrection morning, this day that we have gathered here as I close, on that resurrection morning, the stone was rolled away. Not that we could look in, or not that he could get out, rather, but the stone was rolled away so that we could look in. He didn't need the stone rolled away to get out, but we needed it moved to look in. That we could see. He's not here. He's risen. He's alive. He's alive. He is alive. The price has been paid. The chains are broken. The shackles of death has been defeated. Every shackle of Satan this morning has been busted. Satan lost so bad. He lost so bigly, if that's what they say, I guess now. He lost so bigly that he even lost the keys to his own house. You see, this morning, as I close, Satan is not the gatekeeper in your life. He lies to you. He tells you that. He tells you, "I've got you. I've got you where I want you. There's no hope for you. This ain't for you. You're no part of this." And he tries to hold you behind the gate. But I want you to know there's not a lock on it.
He does not control the gate. You do. And you know a gate works two ways. It lets somebody in, but it keeps somebody out. And we are the gatekeepers this morning. And we can shut Satan out of our lives. He looked down through time. He saw us happy this morning. He saw us well. He saw us rejoicing. And he said, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it to see a little girl get out of a wheelchair and walk. It's worth it to see a woman who carried condemnation for years because of an abortion that she had when she was young. It was worth it to see her go free from that condemnation. He looked ahead in time and saw us who had dark past. He saw our slates wiped clean and us to stand before his people as though we never done it. He looked forward in time and saw drunks that would be preachers. And he said, it's worth it. Because you see, he realized, if I don't die, you will. And in that momentous moment, he made his decision. I will die so they can live. And when he rose from the grave, you know what he said? I love this part. He rose from the grave and he said this to us. Because I live, ye shall live also. Y'all come, musicians come this morning. Y'all come this morning. Do you love him? Are you grateful this morning? You know, Brother Bam talked about that black man. He said he looked into that window. He saw that blood and he jumped back. He said, if the blood of a man named Abraham Lincoln would make that man act like that, what ought the blood of Jesus Christ? It ought to throw every Christian on their knees in tears, thanking him. To realize that in somebody's eyes, you're worth something. You're worth something. You know, there's a beggar on the street. I'm done now. God bless you. There was a beggar on the street, and an artist come up to him one time and said, sir, may I paint you? He said, sure. So he painted out this picture. And when he got done, the artist said, thank you kindly, sir. And he said, wait a minute. Can I see that painting? And the man said, why, sure. And he turned it around. And this painting of this bum laying in the gutters was a painting of a young man. His hair was combed, every hair in place. He had more than a six pack. He was pushing towards 8 or 10, you know, just, he was ripped, handsome, well-dressed, clean-shaven. And the beggar said, sir, who is that? And the artist said, that's you. He said, me? That's me? And the artist said, well, you see, sir, that's the way I see you. And the old beggar raised up, threw his robe around him and said, if that's the man you see, then that's the man I'll be. And if Jesus Christ saw me as a Christian, as a saint, as raising my hands and praising his name and loving him and worshiping him and serving him and going to church for him and giving my life for him, if that's the man he's seen, then by his grace, that is the man I'll be. boundaries. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I'm not a smart man, Lord. God, I can't use fancy words. I wished I could, Lord. I wished I was well educated like that, but I'm not. Lord, I just don't feel adequate enough that I can express to you how much I love you for what you did for me that day. To suffer and bleed and die. To be rejected, spit upon. You went to the lowest of the lowest. That was me. You went to the lowest place you could go so that you could catch me, so that you could find me and tell me. That old piece of Tennessee clay, that old clay vessel, it's worth it to me. It's worth it to die for. God, I want to thank you this morning from the depths of my heart. And Lord, you see the prayer request, the needs today. Lord, my wife, Father, had been battling that cough now for several days. Lord, I ask you this morning, may you just touch your body, Lord, the bodies of others that are sick today, afflicted, Father. May we see the price was paid at Calvary. May we lay our sickness down right where we're at this morning. May we walk out the door free. We've been unshackled. The chains have been lifted off of us. Lord, if that blood of Abraham Lincoln would make that slave act like that, what ought it to do to us to realize you took the slave belt off of me, God? You took the slave belt off of me, Lord. You made me free. You made me free. Lord, I'll never forget when I was in the Army. Guys, when they're getting close to their discharge date, some of them would make short time calendars and mark the days off. One old fella had a bird. He called it his free bird. He packed around. They were looking forward to that day that they would be free of their obligation to the United States military. And they could walk off that post free. No more formations, no more forced marches, no more runs in the morning. They could be free. Lord, they looked forward to that day. They'd come through the line in the chow hall, Lord, and they would shout out how many days they had left. Looking forward to that moment that they were free. Father, I'll never forget that day I got my discharge. And I drove off the post at Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Coming home. But Lord, it's nothing compared to that day in Jonesboro, Tennessee, when I knelt behind that door, Lord, and my life was such a mess. And there that day, you showed me I could be free. Lord, I thank you, Father. If there be one here today, friends, whatever heads bowed, if there's one here today, that you realize now that Satan's got you shackled and you don't have to be. Maybe you feel like you're not worthy, like I used to feel like that. I just wasn't worthy of that. But maybe the Lord spoke to you today. Maybe you've seen his suffering today. Maybe you realize, maybe you've drifted on the Lord. Maybe you're backslid away from God. I don't know, friends. But if you're here today and you're in that condition, maybe you're shackled by a besetting sin. Maybe you're shackled this morning by a habit that nobody even knows that you've got. But you realize this morning you've been unshackled and you can be free. If you believe that this morning, as Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? If you believe that this morning, I just wonder if you just raise your hand up to him. You want to stand to your feet, whatever you want to do, however you want to express it this morning. Say, Lord, that's me, God. That's me, Lord, this morning. Well, I want to accept what you did for me that day, God. Would there be one? God bless that hand, God bless that hand there. God bless that hand right there, God bless you. God bless that hand there. Yes, God bless that hand back there. God bless you right there. God bless you, young man. God bless that hand right there. Yes, sir. It's very commendable of you to stand to your feet like that. Would there be another one? Yes. Anyone else? You whistling through the graveyard. You know you don't have the answer. He thought you was worth it this morning. He thought you was worth it this morning. Are you going to let the devil lie to you and tell you you're not? Would there be anyone else this morning? Brother Darrell, I won't accept what he did for me. Will it make a difference? Why don't you raise your hand and see? God bless you, sir. He saw your hand. God bless you back there, little one. God bless your heart. So he came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping. So he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for. So he sacrificed his life so I could be free, so I could be old, so I could tell everyone I know. He thought I was worth saving, so he came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping. Hallelujah. So he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for. So he sacrificed his life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. He thought I was worth saving. Oh, hallelujah. Came and changed my life. Do you believe that today? Let's stand to our feet, everybody. Let's lift up our hands to him now. Amen. We're going to pray with you just a minute. Oh, let's just worship him for a moment. Amen. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that today? Then let's praise him. Free, so I can be old, so I can tell everyone I know. He thought I was worth saving. Thank you, Lord. So he came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping. Oh, so he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for. So I can be free. I can be whole.
Saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, I could be whole, I could tell everyone I know. I will worship you, give you glory forever, because I am free, because I am whole. I will tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, I could be whole, I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed. thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, I could be whole, I could tell everyone I know. I will praise you, I will worship you, give you glory forever, because I am free, because I am whole, I will tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you clean me up inside. You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I could be free, I could be whole, I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, I could be whole, I could tell everyone I know. Thought I was worth saving. I love that man in the middle. Flowers, no trees in bloom, The scenery was so dull. Three crosses stood black and bold against a starry sky. Not from pain, but a broken heart, the middle man died. I love that man in the middle, because I know he first loved me. That I could go free.
Thank you, Lord.
This morning, friends. Amen. Those of you that stood this morning and lifted your hands, I'm going to pray with you. I want us just to lay hands on one another. Then we'll just...
No one greater than Jesus.
These are our brothers. These are our sisters. There's no feeling in the world like the feeling of being free. To be loosed. To know we can walk out of here this morning as though I never sinned. You know, if there was a vitamin that someone could sell you that would make you feel euphoric, what people would pay for that pill. And yet this gospel this morning is free. We can walk out unshackled. We can walk out with no baggage from Satan. Free. Because when he looked at you and he saw you, I promise you, he sees everything about you. You may hide it from your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your husband, and your wife, but you will not hide it from him. But we can walk out of here this morning knowing that when he sees me in my condition, he said, I was worth it. There to me, there is no one greater than my Jesus. Heavenly Father, this morning, we lay our hands upon each other. Our young people, Lord. Our brothers, our sisters, our children, God. How Satan would desire to sift them. How he would love nothing more than to destroy our families. Destroy our marriages. But Lord, this morning as a body of believers, standing here rejoicing in the resurrection, we lay our hands upon one another because that's what you told us to do. And Lord, I ask you, may each one today, Lord, may they look to that day at Calvary. May they see that perfect lamb without spot or blemish gave his life for me. And Lord, the only thing that I could do, Lord, no matter how little it would be compared to that, it's so little. But yet, Lord, it's all that I can do. And that is to give my life back to you. Because you gave your life for me. Now, Lord, may each of us this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, surrender our lives to you, Lord. Holy Spirit, may you go over every person in this building. This week on their job, whether they're at, may it come back to them, Lord. May they not rest till they find that place at the foot of Calvary where the bleach of thy blood washes them, Lord, and makes them free. Father, I give this congregation into your hands today for your glory. And I say to you, Satan, you're defeated. Come out of the people in the name of Jesus Christ. I rebuke you. Because we pray over them in the name of the name that is no greater, the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, and amen, and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you this morning.
I was so bound up, my life was so tied up, no peace within. Chains could not hold me, confused, so lonely, so shackled with sin. Who is that coming from the other side of the sea? His eyes of compassion, they're piercing through me. Had me bound so long, but my mourning has broken. I'll sing victory song, 'cause there's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, there's no by my neighbors, detested, no peace within. I was the talk of conversation for my multiple relations, so shackled with sin. Then at noonday,
yes,
as the sun was,
yes,
burning down, I hid my face from embarrassment, from my lifestyle so bad. But there was Messiah. Never been in my life, no one greater than Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
There's
you,
no one
you,
greater
thank you, sir.
Than Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. He lives. Aren't you grateful this morning? Oh, hallelujah. God bless you richly. Go today. Enjoy your families. Enjoy your freedom. Eat until you're worth $8. Be happy. Be free. Well, Brother Darrell, I know it is, friends. I know it is. But every day it gets darker.
Amen.
Just tells me we're closer.
Glory.
We're going to leave here one day.
Thank you.
Why don't you go with us?
Yes.
Come and go with us. Amen. You know, it's something when you're with young people, you know, and sometimes, you know, you're kind of on the outside of the group maybe a little bit, and they all got something planned, and you're kind of feeling down, you know, and all of a sudden one of them just looks and say, won't you go with us? So I say to you this morning, if you're just kind of maybe feel like you don't really fit in, come go with us. We're going up to Daddy's house. And I'm sure he's got a chair there for you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. It's good to see my sister in church. And I don't know if my brother made it or not, but he said he's going to try to come. It's always good to see your family in church, and good to see you too. May God richly bless you. And I'm sorry, I purpose to keep it short, but I'm sorry. But it's still early enough, we can get in before the crowd. Do you love him? You know how I know I love him? Because I love you. Amen. Amen. Well, this all may know that you're my disciples. When you have love one for the other. Go in peace, my friend. He lives. Amen. You know, don't just tell somebody, but show them. You know, one day, for the glory of the Lord, I was with Jessica, and we was up here, Elizabeth, and at the McDonald's, and stopped to get something to eat. And I asked him, I said, how much is the food, the person behind me? It was $14 or something. I forget what it was, but I told him, I said, just go ahead and put it on mine. I'll pay for it. Yeah. That woman said, are you sure? I said, yeah, I'm sure it'd be fine. Right. So I paid for their food. She said, you want me to tell them anything? I said, no. So I just tell them, God bless you. So we're going up the road, and Jessica, you know, she's real quiet. And she looked over at me. She said, Daddy, why'd you do that? And I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw that car coming. It was coming up pretty fast. And they pulled up beside me, and they rode down the passenger window, and they waved at me, a big smile, gave me a thumbs up, and I looked over at Jessica, and I said, that's why. That's why I did that. Just to put a smile on somebody's face. Let's just don't preach our sermon. Let's live it. Amen. Go in peace. God bless you. Love you today. Let's just bow our heads one more time, and amen. Thank the choir for singing that song. I love that song. Lord Jesus, Father, it's been good to be in your house today. And Lord, as I was looking this week, God, at the garden, Lord, I just ask you, take me into the garden, Lord. Let me feel what you felt. Let me see what you've seen, Lord. And Lord, it became so real to me. And I just want to thank you today that you looked beyond that piece of Tennessee clay and you saw value. And you went there for me. And I thank you today, Lord. Go with your people now, God. Bless their days. Bless their families, Lord. Father, I ask you, Lord, if you could hear my humble prayer, may there not be a one, Lord, in this building this morning that misses it, God. May we all gather back in safely at your house, Lord. Grant it, Lord, I ask you. I can find favor. May there not be a one here, Lord, left behind. But may we all go home together to sit at your table, to have fellowship once again, that we can say, because you live, we live also. Go with your people now. Bless Brother Donnie, Lord, the different ones as they travel back home across the water. Brother David down in New Zealand. Brother Mike Price over in Burma. Different ones, Lord, all over the world out today. Bring them all safely back home, Lord. Bless their efforts, Lord. Thank you, Father, for allowing me to be home at Easter. It's been so good to be home at Easter. We just commit it into your hands now for your glory. In Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of the Lord this morning. Amen. Oh, can we sing it one more time? Let's just sing it one more time as we go. He thought I was worth saving, so he came and changed my life. He thought I was worth leaving, so he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for, so he sacrificed his life, so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. He thought I was worth saving. He came and changed my life. He thought I was worth keeping. So he cleaned me up inside. He thought we were to die for. He sacrificed for us. He did it for us. Be free, so I can be whole. He did it for us, friend. Everyone I know. Oh, he thought I was worth saving. Brother Terry, he thought we was worth saving. Amen. So he cleaned me up inside. He thought I was to die for. So I could be free, I could be whole, I could tell everyone I know. He thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. So I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everyone I know. You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for. Sacrifice your